everybody. I'm Chad Eckert. That's Joe Idoni. You can follow us on Twitter at Preferred Lines, because this is the Preferred Lines podcast. We're not going to waste any time because, dude, we have an official guest that knows things this week, like we do every week, what we call the Front Nine segment.
Ladies and gentlemen, the guest for this week's Front Nine segment, a good friend of mine, a fellow Ohioan and Floridian, one half of the Golflandia team, a partner of mine with the DFS Open. Welcome to the show. Now on the tee, Ryan Baruff. What's going on, Ryan?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on tonight.
Let's step outside the text and the DMs and let the people in on some of your thoughts here. You ready?
I don't know if they want them, but sure.
All right. What kind of roles? Chad and I just basically rapid fire questions at you back and forth. We'll start it off with some softballs. Then we'll get into a little Memorial Muirfield Village this week. You ready, Q?
Let's roll.
Let's hit it, Chad.
Okay, well, we didn't get a chance to interview when the Fantasy Golf Pod was doing all those interviews, so we were asking guys we had on that, what's their weekly process like? So we missed that for you. Give us a little bit of, like, your betting card or what you do each week.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, number one, you know, I do a lot of stuff from my gut, right? I've been in golf for a long time, and I've watched probably more golf than anybody, so I try not to read, and I try and stay out of the noise. The weekly process, you know, actually starts Friday night, right? When I finished watching my guys miss the cut. yeah, I'll take a quick look at the confirmed field for next week. And I like to look for guys who I like that week, who are playing again next week, and I kind of start there. And I look at the stats first of the guys who missed the cut, right? Because I often try and see if there's anything you can glean from that. Maybe he hit two balls out of bounds, right? Maybe he missed by one because he made a triple bogey. Maybe he had a terrible first round and a great second round, or kind of vice versa. It could be normal golf variance. It could be anything, right? But I think one thing that I do harp on quite a bit is not to quit on guys after one bad week or one bad round. More of that to come later in this interview, I'm sure.
Perfect. Yeah, so I wanted to touch base real quickly. So for those who don't know, I don't know where you've been, but Ryan guest every week on Matt Wiley's Golflandia podcast. Tell us a little bit about how that started, when you started, how you met Matt. Give us a little background on the show real quick.
Sure. Yeah. Met Matt through Twitter, like everybody else. You know, for people who are newer, right, who haven't been around since 2016, I guess, early 2017, you know, when Matt started his Twitter account, he was quite the polarizing figure. He had a new method of betting with the cross tour doubles, right? And basically, right, it made it seem like he was picking 20 guys a week. And sometimes he was. But the way that he would allocate and the way that he would bet would basically mean every combination would pay the same. His goal was not to hit 150-to-1 winner. His goal was to have a 3X, 4X, 5X every week. And he was pretty successful with that. So he decided to start the podcast in the summer of 2017 at the Open Championship. Special shout out to Jordan Spieth. That was his last win. And he asked me to come on the pod for a segment, and we just kept a rolling week in and week out from there. I am lucky to be able to call him a friend. You know, I spent some time with him in 2018 at the Barbasol in Lexington. So that was a lot of fun. You know, Matt is a very good guy, and he wants the best for everybody.
Awesome.
Okay, well, on to other things. You're a brand guy. You have plays that you kind of favor, including your profile pic on Twitter right now. You have Daniel Berger. Tell us about your brands. Who do you who are you a slappy of?
Yeah, Berger's the anti-brand. So that was just kind of that was my punishment for that one.
Got it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the anti-brand guys. Yeah, I mean, Berger for sure. I mean, my thing with the anti-brand, right, is it's guys who are pretty much either, one, just not good guys, right, guys who I never get right, or who everybody plays, right, and oftentimes you just want to fade. You know, guys like, I think of Benyon, you know, he's a great guy, obviously, awesome Twitter follow. We'll never play Benyon, right, always popular when he's a good play. Billy Horschel, right, probably not a good guy, always popular when he's kind of low price, mid sevens, like last week, like this week again. Scott Piercy, same thing. Not a fan of Scott Piercy. the brand guys, yeah, I mean, obviously Matthew Fitzpatrick, number one, my Euro bias is kind of coming in there, but just guys that you've had a lot of success with or guys that you want to root for who are not often the most popular plays. So, yeah, I mean, for me, Fitz is really kind of the main brand, but I've pretty much adopted all of continental Europe at this point.
Exactly. All right, so another thing those of you may not know about Ryan is he's a hell of a golfer. I've experienced this with myself, very low handicap, former professional, you know, club pro. What's the closest you ever got to trying to sort of make a run at things?
Not very far. So yeah, I mean, as you know, I was a club pro for a while, so I played in some PGA, the assistant pro stuff locally, had some success. You know, those guys, you get a lot of guys shooting in the 70s, right? I can compete with that. I don't go much lower than that anymore. I did play some, minor league golf events down here in Florida. Anybody who follows the mini tours, Josh Perry, who you had on last week, Jude, those guys, you know, they watch the mini tours week in and week out. The minor league golf tour here in Florida is probably one of the best throughout the country, if not the best. I played some events, obviously had no success. You're basically playing against guys who are either pros on their way out or pros on their way up. You know, I never got to play with Berger or Brooks, who played kind of those sort of events. But, you know, I played with Steve Marino, Ben Silverman, Brett Stegmaier, like those sorts of guys who all went on to be tour pros. So I did not last very long there.
So you mentioned that you're a Euro guy. Are you still writing for Fantasy Golf Insider?
No, I had a couple different writing commitments and it was just becoming too much. So I just stuck with the podcast.
So then, but you're still a Euro guy. You do Euro on DK. Mm-hmm. Is there an advantage to knowing what's going on in the Euro tour? Are you going to be able to get books that are, you know, asleep at the wheel?
Yes and no. You know, books are pretty sharp for the most part because they kind of all copy each other at some point. But you do have to be quick. You know, as you see on Twitter, like, it's not just me, obviously, but, you know, Ben Coley, Dave Tindall, like those sorts of guys, everybody follows the same guys. Everybody bets the same guys. Antoine Rosner last week, by the way, he is firmly in the brand. But because I bet him and Coley bet him and they all bet him, he was 75% owned on DraftKings last week.
Oh, my God.
Have you 75? Ever seen it? He was in, yeah, the high stakes 180. He was 75% owned, made the cut on the number. But still, mm-hmm. like, everybody reads the same stuff. Everybody has the same information. So in that, there's really not a huge edge. Now, as I guess until early last year, there weren't even any strokes gain stats on the European Tour. So it was a lot of old school, like watching golf, greens in regulation, all that sort of stuff. What? Yeah, and look, I mean, even the strokes gain stuff now, like, it is still pretty spotty. Like in Austria for these two events, there are no strokes gain numbers from there. So I think one thing that I look for again is one, you have to embrace the variance. Golf is obviously has a ton of variance, but on the European Tour, half of your guys can shoot 80 any day. And I mean, literally any day they can shoot 80. I look for the guys who climb the ranks. You know, we watch the Challenge Tour and Q School and stuff like that. If you can get through the Challenge Tour, win on the Challenge Tour, earn your European Tour card, like, those are the guys who I like to back. Matt Wallace did it very recently. And like, same stuff applies with the PGA Tour. I want the Korn Ferry grads, right? I don't want the highly touted amateurs. I don't want the Norman Jones, right? I want the guys who go through the Korn Ferry Tour, win, earn their card, and kind of move on from there.
Sure. Well, speaking of those tours, it all kind of leads up to the PGA Tour, right? So this mm-hmm. week, let's kind of shift gears over there. That's what we normally focus on over here. Back at Muirfield, you know, same course, stronger field. How do you expect this event to play different or play the same, or how are you sort of attacking this week?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm not making very many adjustments for the course playing differently. I obviously don't expect them to trim the rough. The rough was pretty long last week, right? Mm-hmm. Especially around the greens. Like it's not going to get much longer. I was watching my guys hit chip shots to 26 feet all week. I expect more of the same. And the greens, like they said, the greens were like an 11 and a half last week. They were fast. They, yeah. you can't get them any faster than that. So I do think they'll throw some harder hole locations out there. And obviously, like, the rough will be incrementally longer and thicker. The only big adjustment that I'm going to make is the strength of the field. Especially like for DraftKings purposes. Like, I played guys in the 7K range last week. I'm thinking of like a Keegan Bradley, for example. And he was okay. His numbers were okay, but he's the same price this week in a much stronger field. Like, just don't have as much interest there when there are better guys around. So I think that's the biggest adjustment for this week.
So then do you go back to Morikawa and JT and Hovland and the guys that were in contention just because they've had it, they felt it, they're there?
Yes. They're also very good. I think Morikawa is probably the one who I steer away from a little bit because, I mean, he's a great iron player, one of the best we've ever seen. But even he cannot probably replicate what he did last week. And I still have concerns with him on and around the greens. Hovland has clearly improved. I mean, you've seen the last month or so. He's actually a good chipper and a good bunker player now. So I would kind of lean him. Plus, he's $500 or $600 cheaper again. And with JT, I mean, he's either one, two, or three in the world. I think it's either Rory, Bryson, or JT at this point. You can really kind of put him in any order you want. I play him every single week. He's also somebody who tends to be streaky and carry form over. He's gone back to back before. I mean, I can't say anything bad about JT this week.
Right. Well, the big story this week is the return of one Tiger Woods. So we texted about a little bit this morning, but the early line, 28-1, it felt like the books just baited that hook. They've already got some action on it. I've seen it come down a little bit. Can he just show up and win?
Sure. And again, he can show up and win on specific golf courses. I think this is one of them. I think, again, the only concern, I'm not too concerned about him specifically. I mean, maybe, you know, his putting is going to be a little bit rusty. The field is just so good. Yeah, right. I mean, I think I said earlier, anybody over 9K who won would not be surprising. Xander, Rom, Brooks, can't, like, it'd be fine to see any of them. Can he win in this field? Probably. But again, I want to see the short game. I also want to see how he reacts in the feature pairing. I mean, obviously much different with no fans around, but playing with Brooks, playing with Rory, right? Even for Tiger, it's, you know, that's going to amp him up a little bit. He tends to respond well, but I guess we'll see.
So then are you interested in going at Brooks? He's gotten some little flack in the media, little beta Brooks. Do you think he's close to winning? Is 25-1 the right number? Are you going at Brooks? Or are you going to look at number one in the world, Rory? Are you going to look at the guy that's at like the 14 number? Do you do that?
I don't do it often. I did bet Brooks last week at 16. But again, it was a little bit different because the field was much weaker. I would not do that this week, nor in any major, really. As I said, I don't quit on guys after 1 week. So if you're going to give me Brooks at 25 this week, yes, I am going in on that. Is he close? I'm not sure. His putting has been great since we came back from the break. Ball striking has definitely been up and down. The back nine on Friday was good for him. But I did look back and see a pattern with his wins. Almost all of his wins, I think 5 out of 6 or 5 out of 7, whatever it is, they came after top fives. So he is, again, he's someone who carries form over. But he committed late, right? He wants to be here. He wants to earn points. He needs to play well. He's way out of the FedEx Cup playoffs at this point. So, and he's cheap, right? 91 on DraftKings, 25-1. Like, you can still stack your card with him.
Sure. So going all the way up to the top, Bryson. So this question kind of comes from, there's so many good stories on tour right now. It's unbelievable. But we got a question from our guy, Charlie, big fan of yours, Kroz.
He wants
to know if Bryson wins by 4 or by 8 this week.
It's tough. I don't think this is a great golf course for Bryson, the way he's playing right now. You saw the rough was messy last week. It's going to be messy again this week. I still have concerns about his short game. I still have concerns that he can't gain 5 strokes putting every week. And these greens are much trickier than what he saw at the Rocket Mortgage. Now, is Bryson going to miss the cut? No. Is he going to finish outside the top 20? Probably not. He has a massive advantage. But at the top here, you're really splitting hairs again between these top three or four guys. And I'm just going to go a different way this week.
Well, so then you're going with the long shots to win? Or is that kind of foolish with this type of field? And then you look at long shots more as a top 20 option.
Yeah, mostly the latter. I don't bet a lot of long shots, I guess, in general, not like Joe. I definitely won't bet many long shots in this field. I did bet Danny Willett. I texted you earlier today. I just feel like it's the type of golf course, and if it's tough, he can contend. And he played awesome last week at Rocket Mortgage, so I guess that's an interesting one. But no, I mean, I bet Brooks and I bet Paul Casey just because I thought the number 80-1 was way too good. But those are the only three that I have right now, Brooks, Casey, and Willett. My top 20s, yeah, I did include Willett on there and then just have, I think I have three other ones. But I don't always bet the same guys with the top 20s as the outrights.
Got it. So a quick question for you. I've been kind of curious of, you gave me a great putting tip. And I know that you're a great putter yourself. Is this something, you know, I look at these guys like Hovland and somewhat Morikawa, and it seems to me like the guys who are good putters just are always good putters every week. And the guys who aren't. Is it a stat that you look that you can think, you know, a guy can improve on year after year and something they can magically get better at? Or is it just something you have or you don't have?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you can get better. I mean, we've seen it. Look at Webb Simpson, for example. He went from basically 150th to first in putting, right? But no, I mean, there are guys who are just inherently better putters than others. It has to do with feel, with technique, with green reading abilities, right? And then, I mean, that changes, right? You see there are different people who are good on POA and different people who are good on bent and Bermuda. And there is something to that, right? You may not see it in the data. You may not even need to include it in your model, but guys will tell you, I'm from Georgia. I like Bermuda, right? I'm from California. I like POA. So you definitely have to look into it. But no, I do not weigh putting at all in models and stuff like that. I guess the only time that I look at it is probably for Birdie Fest, for DK, right? Where either you need guys who are gaining 8 shots approach and having 5 footers, or you just need guys who can make 10 to 12 footers. I don't think this is one of those weeks. I think you're going to have to save pars, but ultimately, like, I mean, you need to hit fairways and greens this week.
So who is going to do it? Last question. Who is your preferred play of the week?
Does it have to be, does it have to be someone that I bet or no?
No, I think, we're both DraftKings players. Most people
just
are.
Just who do you think is going to win? Pick any guy.
Yeah, Justin Thomas.
Fair, for sure.
Yeah, boring pick, but yeah, Justin Thomas.
Dude, he's so good.
He's really good.
If you want more of Ryan Baroff, if you want to follow him on Twitter, it's rbaroff427, or you can listen to Golflandia podcast, which is in iTunes and other areas of the world. Go grab that, download that, listen to that. Cheers to you, Ryan. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan.
See you.
Take it easy, buddy.
Bye.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, that was perfect.
All right, well, we go a little long today. It's fine. It's a major show, pretty much. This is basically like, I feel like filling in for the Open Championship, right? Because we're losing that major, but you sent me the tweet earlier. This field is ridiculous. Dude, you should mention that, yeah.
I'm going to mention that as we make the turn and we correct the board here at the Memorial. It's a juicy field. It's the juiciest field in the history of the PGA Tour, actually. Our guy on Twitter, at VC606, someone you should follow, he loves OWGR.
He loves it.
The golf rankings. And he tweeted that this has a ranking of over 800, whatever that means. Strong field, actually stronger than the last 8 Masters. The Memorial is coming with the heat. It's the best field ever. Bragging rights are on the line. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong, my friend. So we trimmed down a couple guys. I think 130 some in the field this
133
week.
Total human dice. And at the tippity tip top, you got Bryson DeChambeau at 10-1. A juicy field, like we said. It's going to be tough to bet somebody at the top because you got JT right there, last week's runner-up at 11-1. Cantlay and Rory, 12-1. DJ, 16-1. Yes or no? Are you in at the top of the board, Joe?
I think I'm going to be in this week.
What?
I'm going to kind of switch things up a little bit, man. I had that wacky card last week. It was
the Spieth card.
Swing and a miss. For last week. I'm going to kind of switch things up. I really, really do think that this winner, just the strength of the field and the superiority of this tournament and how players, it's going to play like a major championship. We lose the Open Championship this week. Throw the Memorial in there. Might as well be the fourth major. The field is ridiculous. I'm going to really try to stick with guys
what's the name?
This range. Yeah. So I'm right now – look, I'm not going to finalize my card just yet on Monday, but I'm really between JT and Patrick Cantlay at the top.
Well, Baroff didn't lean you and push you towards Justin Thomas. That's who he likes. He thinks he's going to win.
Well, there's really not much pushing that needs to be done to get onto Justin Thomas. It's a ball striker's paradise. That's the one thing I took away from last week. The three guys that I think are the best ball strikers on tour were all final group there. Three of the top names in Hovland, Morikawa, and Thomas. So,
and there they are. I'm not going anywhere near these guys that were playing in contention last week. I think they're fatigued. I'm afraid of them. And that includes people that are in 20-1 land. Last week's winner, Morikawa, 20-1. Rom, you can find him at 20-1 places, or you can bet him at 18-1 like I did already. But you can also find Hovland and Tiger, 20-1. You got other names in the 20-1 range. Webb, 22. Brooks and Decky and Xander, 25. I mean, I could make an argument for almost any of the names in this range. Rom, Morikawa, Tiger, Hovland, Webb, Brooks, Decky, Xander. Oh my God, this is a major for sure. Is it crazy? Did you take Tiger?
No, I did not take Tiger. I'm resisting this week. I just think it's so tough to just pop back into competition and play really well, especially with these guys who have done it now for 4 or 5 weeks. I did. I'm finally on board. I'm in. It's Brooks time.
I knew you would say that.
It's time, man. 25-1. You're catching another basically 10 points, 9-10 points off what you did last week. I told you last week that I don't like to bet him on his first time out. It's his second time out. He made that run on the back nine of that ridiculous putt to almost make the cut. And he committed to the field the last second. He wants to be here. He wanted to get paired with Bryson DeChambeau. The tour did us a huge injustice by not giving us that. But he wants it, man. Motivation is a big factor for Brooks. I think he feels slighted. I think he feels motivated to kind of gain his spot back. The irons are not there. That's what's concerning to me, is they have been sloppy at best. But he plays a great fade off the tee. Nicholas Course is always kind of favor that shape of a shot. These par fives can be dismantled by a guy of his length. If he putts well, I expect him to play well. I'm in 25-1. Who you got?
Well, I am not in. I failed miserably on the Brooks train last week, so I'm off. I jumped off. I'm back on. Well, I've always kind of been on the Rom train. I got two guys. Well, yeah, 20-1, but I got him at 18-1 because I don't even care. It's all the same. I think Rom has a chance to win. He's too skilled, and he actually does want to win. You got to get players that want to win. There's a difference. Some people don't. Some people want to get second, and they're fine with it. Rom wants wins. He wants respect. He wants Nicholas to shake his hand. He cares. He wants to show his new wife. He just got married. He wants to prove to her and her new he's got father-in-law. He's got to win to show him. So he's motivated. Rom, 18-1. Xander, another guy who's motivated. Dude gets no respect, although he did get paired into the featured group for the first time in a while, and I like it. I like to see it. Xander, 28-1, a great number for how consistent he's been. He's a winner. He does win. He hasn't won, though, since January of 2019. So Xander is due for a win, and he's been close since his last win. He's finished as a runner-up. He's almost won. He's T3 at the Charles Schwab just recently. He's feeling a little disappointed, and he's wants some good vibes, good California vibes going in to Harding Park, the PGA Championship. This dude wants a major. He's so focused on that I think this is like his pre – what do they call it? Like a dress rehearsal.
It's a tune-up.
Yeah, for the PGA. So give it to him. This is basically the field he's going to face there. So I like a California kid. I like Xander at 28-1. We're going to wait to see what Bagel says on Wednesday, but I don't know. It could be a Xander week. And look at me, Xander and Rom. gonna
love Yeah, Bagels is gonna love that. Listen, I'm not in on Rahm. I do like Xander. I can see myself taking him at 28-1. I also kind of have a feelings like I may take Victor Hovland because he. Part of me feels like, okay, so Morikawa was in that playoff that he lost and he kind of blew it. And I think that he learned a lot from that. And he came back a couple weeks later and finally got his win. I think this was a big moment for Victor's career. I think that he's just so good. Tee to green. Has anyone ever, 3 weeks in a row led the field in tee to green? It's an unbelievable stat. He's playing so incredibly well. It's unbelievable. And I think that this was a big learning experience. Can he come back out on a 3-4 days later and do it again? I don't know, but he's definitely on the short list.
Yeah, see, I don't know because of all the dang stuff he's been doing with driving around the world.
But he doesn't have to drive anywhere. He stays put.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay, let's get to the middle of the road here. We got Ricky at 33, Berger at 40, Woodland at 40. You got Answer, Rose, Reed at 50. You got a slew of the names at 66 number. You got Day, Neiman, Speed, Kuchar, Fitzpatrick, Garcia, M, and Finau. Damn it. This is going to be hard to make a decision. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Any leads?
I do. I actually bet two guys here. I took Answer and Pat Reed at 50 and 55-1. I just Answer is just rates out really well in everything that I look. He's such a tremendous approach player. And that's what I feel like this course lends itself to. Pat Reed has been sloppy with the approaches. He is loose off the tee. But if you need to get up and down from a brutal lie in the rough or a tough situation in the sand, which all these guys are going to have to do to win, we saw it last week. I like his odds over anybody, man. He's so good in and around the greens. And he just did not putt well last week and still, I think, finished in the mid-30s and lost strokes putting. He doesn't lose strokes putting on bent very often. They speed it up a little bit. Advantage Pat Reed. I'm going back to him. He wins tournaments at a better clip than 55-1. So I am in.
I took Reed at 50-1 as well. It's one of the best bets of the week, in my opinion. I think also right there at 50-1, Justin Rose. Why not? Rose did fail miserably last week, but that's fine. He does this kind of stuff. I kind of predicted this, dude, because we know he doesn't care about low-end workday classic events. He holds the trophy up for the Memorial. It matters to 40-year-old Justin Rose. He's had 7 top tens at the Memorial, for fuck's sake, and he's 50-1. So I like that, okay? And then I'm going to go with some names in the 66-1 range.
I know you are.
Yeah.
Who are they? Let's hear them.
I got 4 names, Joe, but none of them are Sungjae Im.
What?
I know. I'm all out on Sungjae Im this week because I'm on 2 different names that are playing better with their approaches, and I've seen him. I watched literally every single shot he's taken since he's come back. It's been struggling. So I'm going to use him on DK, of course. But this is where you got to pick a winner. And I don't think he's ready to win right now. I think Neiman, for sure, definitely. 66-1, do that. Jason Day, headed towards a win. Believe it or not, rounding into form. Jason Day, I like it. I've been kind of following this narrative in my head. You know, he's never really played that well here. He's had 2 weeks back-to-back. He's just kind of rounding into form. Everything looks good except for his putter, and that's the best thing he's ever done in his life. So maybe this is it. Sergio, too. I like him at 66. Sergio, a guy with the irons, played well. But my favorite play, 66-1, is Matt Kuchar. He's the Memorial Matt. He's won here in 2013. He's finished a bunch of top 10s here, 7 as well as Rose has. So he's done great here over his history. He's an old guy now. He cares about this. And he wants. What does he want? 10 wins. He's at 9. He's sitting right at 9. He wants to accomplish things, like getting a double digit in his win total for his Wikipedia page. 66-1? What's it? 5 top 10s in a row here. Yeah. Like, what the hell? Dude, you know, whatever. He's carried by his putter recently, but that's fine. He can flip the irons. I like him. Kuchar, who do you like as anyone
else? Okay, so I haven't bet anyone yet, but I have 3 names highlighted. One of them is Neiman because I was on him last week at 40-1. They're basically throwing another 25, 30 points on it this week, and he played pretty well. I don't think that he deserves to be bumped up that much higher. Loves the course, loves bent grass. He just makes a lot of bogeys out of nowhere on par threes and stuff like that. If he could just hit the green and 2-putt and then make his birdies elsewhere, he'd be in much better shape. Another name I like, I can't just brush over Sungjae. I haven't bet him yet, but I feel like the number in regards to his talent level is very close. I have not bet it yet, so don't get on me just yet.
No, I just think he's right. It's appropriate.
It is appropriate, but I also like Matt Fitzpatrick. Number like 18 player in the world. I just feel as if he is perennially disrespected in relation of the odds to how good of a player he is.
Played how great would well it be if Fitzpatrick week. Won on Baroff's week on our pod? That's
yeah, exactly. And I'm not sure what he's doing if he's rolling with Bones again this week sure. on the bag, but I feel like that can only help another week of them two together. If so, he's just got good odds.
Okay, cool. Let's do long shots. And to be honest, dude, I'm like in the Baroff boat where I'm going to go top 20s more than I'm going to bet a lot of long shots. Yep. And I've been doing pretty decent with these long shots, these top 10s, top 20s with the long shots. Do that because I got Sam Burns. I got Poulter last week. Those are my fires. Yeah. I got a few different things. And they're paying off because if you make 10 of these bets and you only nail two of them, you pay for mm-hmm. everything. So sure. my long shots that I might go just top 20s, but I did do a dollar on. Oh, it's not a lot, but it's a lot. For 80-1, you can get Hadwin.
Wow. I Adam actually Hadwin. Didn't even see that. Yeah, that's not a bad number on Hadwin.
He started well last week. He's
sure
done well recently. He's kind of just like an old guy that grinds. Keegan, too, played too well with the approaches, and if his putter somewhat miraculously finds itself, it's been known to do that. It's 175-1 for Keegan Bradley. I'm in on that. And then Chez, fairway finder, if the rough is huge and long and whatever. I saw something I like from Chez last week at 200-1. Sign me up for a Chez long shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself?
So I'm going to take Ryan's sort of advice and tail him on the Danny Willett pick, just especially if this course plays harder, around 10 to 12 under par. I think that is right in Danny's wheelhouse. Here's a guy like 125-1. I bet it. I'm going to top 10 it. I'm going to top 20 it. I gave a little peek behind the blinders earlier on Twitter with the poll, but I'm taking Phil.
Yeah.
What? Look. I think
no, I've seen Phil.
I feel like his form is honestly coming around. He's hitting a lot more fairways. He's still hitting it a long way. And
what number do you get on Phil?
He's 125-1.
Okay.
Which is a good number. He is.
Dude, I voted with every account I have on Twitter. Yes, he's going to win again because I think he truly will.
I think he is too. And look, he's 50 years old, but he's still right there. I think he's been in better shape playing-wise, and I'm not even talking physically, playing-wise right now than he has been in the past couple of years. He's developed this little so we know he tries to hit the bombs off the – on his approaches, going with this little sort of three-quarter, like 70% shot, I think he's taken another club and just kind of playing a really easy, soft-handed shots into these greens, which is great for Phil. When he won at Pebble Beach, I think he did this a ton. I remember him hitting a 6-iron like 145 yards at Pebble that was just perfect. Like okay. He's taking less clubs, he's gaining a little bit more control, and when he can get a hot putter, he can get going. We've seen him go low for at Memorial before through 9-hole stretches. If he can sustain that a little bit longer, I think he has a good chance to top 20. He wants to get himself back into contention. He believes. We'll see.
Dude, he's going to benefit from the Ryder Cup being extended out.
He wants it. You know he does.
Dude, he does. Okay, my preferred plays of the week. Here's a recap of those. It's Rahm at 18-1, Xander 28, Fowler, I actually like, and I bet 40-1.
We didn't talk about him.
I know, yeah. I missed him. But yeah, he's decent. And he showed up last week. And then I got Day and Rose. Well, Rose at 50, Day at 66. Kuchar there at 66. Hadwin, Keegan, Chez, long shots. Who do you like this week, Joe, so far?
All right. So last week, I think I made a mistake in trying to make too many picks too early. So I'm going to kind of hold some stuff back this week. But here's what I have in so far. I have a nice ticket on Brooks at 25-1. I'm in on him. I'm going big or I'm going home. I've got Answer at 50, Reed at 55, Phil at 125-1, and I'm probably in on one or two of those guys at 70, just sort of, you know, I'll sprinkle a little bit on them and try to top 10 them as well. Likely leaning Fitz and Neiman there, but I can see myself getting sort of talked into Sungjae as Twitter turns its wheels over the next couple of days.
Don't let Twitter tell you what to do. Do what you want inside of your gut, inside of your brain. Just do something for fun, right, Joe?
That's right. You know what? So I was thinking to myself last week as I was burning my card to the ground, don't outsmart yourself. That's my new slogan. Don't outsmart yourself. I tried to do that last week. I tried to get cute and do things I don't normally do. I'm done with that. I'm going back to Brooks. I'm going back to Pat Reed. Let's go. Memorial, baby.
Let's get a win.
Let's do it.
Cheers.
Cheers. Peace.